Today is the 29th day of April. Welcome. Welcome back around the Global Campfire. I am Brian. It's great to be here with you today. Every day is a grateful day to be here to take the next step forward in our journey through the Bible this year. And wow, we're rounding the corner on this fourth month of the year, aren't we? Well, tomorrow, obviously, is the last day of the fourth month of the year. We will finish today the third of the four Gospels in the New Testament. That is the book of Luke. And so we will be moving forward as we end the month tomorrow into a brand new beginning. The Gospel of John, which is very different than the than Matthew, Mark, and Luke, which are known as the Synoptic Gospels because they're very similar. Nevertheless, we can talk about all that tomorrow when we get there. That's just what's kind of on the horizon, what's coming up. Having said all that, let's jump in to the book of Judges. Today, chapter 9, verse 22. Through 10, verse 18. When Abimelech had ruled over Israel 3 years, God sent an evil spirit between Abimelech and the citizens of Shechem. They treated Abimelech deceitfully, so that the crime against the 70 sons of Jerubbaal might come to justice, and their blood would be avenged on their brother Abimelech, who killed them, and on the citizens of Shechem, who had helped him kill his brothers. The citizens of Shechem rebelled against him by putting men in ambush on the tops of the mountains, and they robbed everyone who passed by them on the road. So this was reported to Abimelech. Gaal, son of Ebed, came with his brothers and crossed into Shechem, and the citizens of Shechem trusted him. So they went out to the countryside and harvested grapes from their vineyards. They trampled the grapes and held a celebration. Then they went to the house of their god, and as they ate and drank, they cursed Abimelech. Gaal, son of Ebed, said, "Who is Abimelech? And who is Shechem, that we should serve him? Isn't he the son of Jerubbaal? And isn't Zebul his officer? You are to serve the men of Hamor, the father of Shechem. Why should we serve Abimelech? If only these people were in my power, I would remove Abimelech." So he said to Abimelech, "Gather your army and come out." When Zebul, the ruler of the city, heard the words of Gaal, son of Ebed, he was angry. So he secretly sent messengers to Abimelech, saying, "Beware, Gaal, son of Ebed, and his brothers have come to Shechem and are turning the city against you. Now, tonight, you and the troops with you, come and wait in ambush in the countryside. Then get up early, and at sunrise, attack the city. When he and the troops who are with him come out against you, do to him whatever you can." So Abimelech and all the troops with him got up at night and waited in ambush for Shechem in 4 units. Gaal, son of Ebed, went out and stood at the entrance of the city gate. Then Abimelech and the troops who were with him got up from their ambush. When Gaal saw the troops, he said to Zebul, "Look, troops are coming down from the mountaintops." But Zebul said to him, "The shadows of the mountains look like men to you." Then Gaal spoke again, "Look, troops are coming down from the central part of the land, and one unit is coming from the direction of the diviner's oak." Zebul replied, "What do you have to say now? You said, 'Who is Abimelech that we should serve him?' Aren't these the troops you despised? Now go and fight them." So Gaal went out leading the citizens of Shechem and fought against Abimelech, but Abimelech pursued him, and Gaal fled before him. Numerous bodies were strewn as far as the entrance of the city gates. Abimelech stayed in Aromah, and Zebul drove Gaal and his brothers from Shechem. The next day, when the people of Shechem went into the countryside, this was reported to Abimelech. He took the troops, divided them into three companies, and waited in ambush in the countryside. He looked, and the people were coming out of the city, so he arose against them and struck them down. Then Abimelech and the units that were with him rushed forward and took their stand at the entrance of the city gates. The other two units rushed against all who were in the countryside and struck them down. So Abimelech fought against the city that entire day, captured it, and killed the people who were in it. Then he tore down the city and sowed it with salt. When all the citizens of the Tower of Shechem heard, they entered the inner chamber of the Temple of El-Berith. Then it was reported to Abimelech that all the citizens of the Tower of Shechem had gathered. So Abimelech and all the troops who were with him went up to Mount Zalmon. Abimelech took his axe in his hand and cut a branch from the trees. He picked up the branch, put it on his shoulder, and said to the troops who were with him, "Hurry and do what you have seen me do." Each of the troops also cut down his own branch and followed Abimelech. They put the branches against the inner chamber and set it on fire. About 1,000 men and women died, including all the men of the Tower of Shechem. Abimelech went to Thebez, camped against it, and captured it. There was a strong tower inside the city, and all the men, women, and citizens of the city fled there. They locked themselves in and went up to the roof of the tower. When Abimelech came to attack the tower, he approached its entrance to set it on fire. But a woman threw the upper portion of a millstone on Abimelech's head and fractured his skull. He quickly called his armor-bearer and said to him, "Draw your sword and kill me, or they'll say about me, 'A woman killed him.'" So his armor-bearer ran him through, and he died. When the Israelites saw that Abimelech was dead, they all went home. In this way, God brought back Abimelech's evil, the evil that Abimelech had done to his father when he killed his 70 brothers. God also brought back to the men of Shechem all their evil. So the curse of Jotham, son of Jerubbaal, came upon them. After Abimelech, Tola, son of Puah, son of Dodo, became judge and began to deliver Israel. He was from Issachar and lived in Shamir in the hill country of Ephraim. Tola judged Israel 23 years, and when he died, was buried in Shamir. After him came Jair the Gileadite, who judged Israel 22 years. He had 30 sons who rode on 30 donkeys. They had 30 towns in Gilead, which are still called Jair's villages today. When Jair died, he was buried in Kemon. Then the Israelites again did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. They worshipped the Baals and the Ashtoreths, the gods of Aram, Sidon, and Moab, and the gods of the Ammonites and the Philistines. They abandoned the Lord and did not worship him. So the Lord's anger burned against Israel, and he sold them to the Philistines and the Ammonites. They shattered and crushed the Israelites that year. And for 18 years they did the same to all the Israelites who were on the other side of the Jordan, in the land of the Amorites in Gilead. The Ammonites also crossed the Jordan to fight against Judah, Benjamin, and the house of Ephraim. Israel was greatly oppressed. So they cried out to the Lord, saying, "We have sinned against you. We have abandoned our God and worshipped the Baals." The Lord said to the Israelites, "When the Egyptians, Amorites, Ammonites, Philistines, Sidonians, Amalekites, and Maonites oppressed you, and you cried out to me, did I not deliver you from them? But you have abandoned me and worshipped other gods. Therefore, I will not deliver you again. Go and cry out to the gods you have chosen. Let them deliver you whenever you are oppressed. But the Israelites said, we have sinned. Deal with us as you see fit. Only rescue us today. So they got rid of the foreign gods among them and worshipped the Lord. And he became weary of Israel's misery. The Ammonites were called together, and they camped in Gilead. So the Israelites assembled and camped at Mizpah. The rulers of Gilead said to one another, which man will begin the fight against the Ammonites? He will be the leader of all the inhabitants of Gilead. Luke 24, 13 to 53. Now that same day, two of them were on their way to a village called Emmaus, which was about 7 miles from Jerusalem. Together they were discussing everything that had taken place. And while they were discussing and arguing, Jesus himself came near and began to walk along with them. But they were prevented from recognizing him. Then he asked them, what is this dispute that you're having with each other as you are walking? And they stopped walking and looked discouraged. The one named Cleopas answered him, are you the only visitor in Jerusalem who doesn't know the things that happened there in these days? What things? He asked them. So they said to him, the things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, powerful in action and speech before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we were hoping that he was the one who was about to redeem Israel. Besides all this, it's the third day since these things have happened. Moreover, some women from our group astounded us. They arrived early at the tomb, and when they didn't find his body, they came and reported that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they didn't see him. He said to them, how foolish you are and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Wasn't it necessary for the Messiah to suffer these things and enter into his glory? Then beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted for them the things concerning himself and all the scriptures. They came near the village where they were going, and he gave the impression that he was going farther. But they urged him, stay with us, because it's almost evening, and now the day is almost over. So he went in to stay with them. It was as he reclined at the table with them that he took the bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. But he disappeared from their sight. They said to each other, weren't our hearts burning within us while he was talking with us on the road and explaining the scriptures to us? That very hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem. They found the 11 and those with them gathered together who said, the Lord has truly been raised and has appeared to Simon. And they began to describe what had happened on the road and how he was made known to them in the breaking of the bread. As they were saying these things, he himself stood in their midst. He said to them, peace to you. But they were startled and terrified and thought they were seeing a ghost. Why are you troubled? He asked them. And why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see, because a ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you can see I have. Having said this, he showed them his hands and feet. But while they still were amazed and in disbelief because of their joy, he asked them, Do you have anything here to eat? So they gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate in their presence. He told them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. He also said to them, "This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead the third day, and repentance for forgiveness of sins will be proclaimed in his name to all the nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And look, I am sending you what my Father promised. As for you, stay in the city until you are empowered from on high." Then he led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. And while he was blessing them, he left them and was carried up into heaven. After worshiping him, they returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they were continually in the temple, praising God. Psalm 100. Be thankful. A psalm of thanksgiving. Let the whole earth shout triumphantly to the Lord. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Acknowledge that the Lord is God. He made us, and we are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and bless his name, for the Lord is good, and his faithful love endures forever. His faithfulness through all generations. Proverbs 14:11-12. The house of the wicked will be destroyed, but the tent of the upright will flourish. There is a way that seems right to a person, but its end is the way to death. Okay, so like we were talking about at the beginning, that concluded the Gospel of Luke today. And Luke concludes with the stories of like the immediate aftermath of like Jesus' death and then burial and then Sabbath and all of that and then resurrection. Like it's just this methodical but chaotic, disruptive time. So after Jesus' tomb was found empty, like there's this kind of thread of hopeful confusion coming out of what had seemed to be utter and complete black, dark, bloody defeats. And so there's this hopeful confusion settling over those that had followed Jesus. Some believe the stories that the women had told of angels visiting at the tomb. Others, and I mean, I hate to confess this because I'd like to think that I'd, you know, outrun everybody to the tomb and I'd beat everybody and I'm the, you know, the greatest disciple, but others were not convinced about these angels that the women were talking about, and that's probably where I'm sitting, if I'm sitting in that group at all. So some of the followers, a couple of them, left Jerusalem and they're going to go to this village called Emmaus. This is a 7-mile walk. That's more like I can I can locate myself in the story there, walking along, just, you know, ruminating, broken, hopeless, senseless, pointless, purposeless, having no clue. I can feel it in my chest, like as I'm talking about it. Everything that they believed in. So like if that's us, we're walking along, we're on this dusty path out of Jerusalem, we're going to this nearest village, it's 7 miles. That's a long walk. And man, I've done so much like therapy, and I've always been kind of a walker, so just kind of learned like there's this kind of processing that happens when you walk. There's this left, right, back and forth, back and forth. There's this therapy called EMDR. Probably a lot of you know about that. It's like trauma processing. It's this reprocessing back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. So walking can kind of have that effect if you're kind of walking and talk processing, maybe with a therapist or for the friend or whatever, walking, talking, processing, regulating, like trying to make sense of the emotions and the nervous system to try to reach some place of equilibrium. So they're walking and they're talking and they're brooding and they're grieving. And in my mind's eye, they're looking at the ground. If I put myself in that story, I'm absolutely looking at the ground. And, you know, if I think of that kind of upheaval where reality has been shattered, where everything that you hoped in and believed in has been like literally wiped away, or it feels like the world that you're in is not the world that you thought you were in. And nothing, including your memories, are safe. Like everything is destroyed now. This is called complex trauma hitting these people in the heart at the same time and trying to process it out together. And then there's this guy that's like, they're walking on a road. This is how he, like, there's no cars and stuff. So you're walking or you're riding on a cart or something down the path. So people are passing each other all the time, just like in cars. And there's this guy walks up alongside and he's kind of keeping pace with them, listening to them, talking, hearing their grief, hearing their anxiety, hearing their fear, hearing their disbelief, hearing the trauma of it. And it's Jesus, right? It's Jesus. And there's like this kind of sort of hopeful thread in the story, almost like there's a playfulness to it. These people are in agony. Like they have to rethink life itself. Everything they hoped in and believed in has turned out to be false. And here's Jesus walking alongside them. They do not recognize him. And he's like, what's wrong? You know, what's the matter? And they're like, are you the only one around here that hasn't heard what has been going on about the prophet Jesus? And Jesus is like, tell me, like, what happened? And then Jesus begins to open the scriptures in a prophetic way, explaining to them that this is supposed to happen, and they're walking along and listening, and I'm sure that's very comforting. And they get to their exit, Emmaus, exit only, exit here, you know, and this is where they're going. But Jesus is, you know, like it seems as if he's got a destination beyond. So he's going to keep going, and they're like, you know, trying to convince him to stay. It's getting dark. Stay here. Stay with us. And so he does. And they arrive at Emmaus. And Jesus breaks the bread. And immediately their eyes, like they immediately, it clicks. And they understand like whose presence they're in. And as it's registering, he disappears. Okay. Man. Honestly, like it's like there's this comedy kind of light-hearted playfulness in it. When I walk the trail of this story and think, and you know, gosh, if he, you know, this hope is this elusive thing, especially when you've experienced trauma, hope can be really, really hard to hold on. And so you want to hold on to anything you can, and any bit of hope you think it's, you're skeptical of, because it could be taken away from you. And so he disappears as they're realizing who he is. And it's like, ah, I don't know. Like, I think that would bring a lot of adrenaline and anxiety into my life. Personally, I would be like, what is happening here? And so they say these words that really do resonate and echo. Didn't our hearts burn within us as he talked with us on the road and explained the scriptures to us? Didn't our hearts burn within us? So they're kind of amped up, and 7 miles back to Jerusalem they go. That's a pretty good day. That's 14 miles. That's a good day. So they get back, they're telling the story. Jesus appears again. Everybody's terrified. They think they're seeing a ghost. Like, I don't actually know how to, like, I am like that pessimistic, skeptical skeptic, you know, so I'm probably on the margins here going, what in the actual heck is going on? And then Jesus eats in front of them, like calming down their superstitions about ghosts. Why are you scared? Jesus asks. Why are your hearts filled with doubts? Those words, like that, those questions are questions Jesus had asked them a lot of times. So, how many times have we been walking along the path of life completely oblivious, lost in our own pain, our own coping mechanisms, our own anxiety, our own fear, our own damage and trauma, looking at the ground, walking away in the dust, not knowing what's going to happen, not realizing or recognizing that we aren't alone? It's almost as if Jesus was teaching his disciples what he continues to teach us. His presence is not based upon his physicality. His presence is within us and will never leave us. And so may we find that to be an incredible amount of calm, encouragement today as we face the things that we don't know how to face. And that's not an everyday thing. Not to the degree of like panic attack, but we face things every day. And when we're facing them, and we don't know what to do, that is when we feel alone. It's almost as if Jesus is teaching his disciples that the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, the divine presence of God is nearer and more immediate than physicality. Not just that you can see presence, someone's presence next to you, the presence of God is more intimate than that. The presence of God is within us. We're not alone. And may this be an encouragement, but may this be the truth May this be the reality that we live and the facts that we live by. These are the truths that Jesus' disciples are learning, and they play out in the book of Acts, in the church era, which we are now a part of. And so, Holy Spirit, come. It's really when we're the most anxious, or the most uncertain, or the most stunned, like we've just been blindsided, that we can feel the most alone. Because reality can shift on its axis, and then we just don't know which way is up. And so all of our connections can come into question. Everything that we think can come into question. Our connection to you can get stretched and strained and shattered, and then we really are lost. If our first move in any situation is to make sure that we center ourselves, that we center ourselves on our center, because you are the center of our lives, the author and finisher of our faith. So if we would center ourselves where you are within us, we can take that one breath and say, okay, I don't know what to do, but I'm not alone, and I don't have to figure this out alone. Help us tap into that reality that is always available from these lessons that we glean from the Gospels. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com and the Daily Audio Bible app, our home base. That is where you get connected and find out what's going on around here and come around the global campfire. And I've been saying that for a long, long, long time, but it's a brand new home now. This has been move-in week, and we are moving in to our brand new platform, brand new apps, brand new everything under the hood. Brand new, brand new, brand new. And so we're underway with that, and it's been so fun to hear the feedback so far, which has really been quite overwhelmingly humbling. How you can see the work that's gone into this. At the same time, we also want to recognize, is like we're moving in, so there's like some hiccups a little bit here and there. So we definitely knew like yesterday morning was going to be the first real world impact, first real hit. We did all the changeovers in the afternoon the day before at a lower traffic time, knowing that when the morning hits, it's on. So we had to go through our first morning, learned a few things. Sorry for anybody who had like some period of time where it was like, wow, it's not working. I can't get in. I can't figure it out. Some things that we needed to learn with actual real world, like non-testing environments, like real world situations. And so, discovered a lot, got a lot done. Grateful to the teams, who have really, really worked hard to be very, very diligent and figure and work and patch and fix as quickly as possible. That's been really impressive. Grateful for that. So things are starting to smooth out. Definitely got a world of customer service going on right now, but it's great to communicate with that. It's like fun. This is fun to, for you might be like, well, I can't listen right now and I'm trying to figure that out. And that's not fun, brother. But yeah, I get it. Patience. I'm so sorry. I'm patience. We are so committed to this community that, we've given our lives to this, and are really excited about kind of this new chapter that we're stepping into with this technology so that we can build a community in deeper and wider ways. But we couldn't really get there any other way besides starting over and working for years to get to this point. And so, hopefully we don't ever really have to have any kind of like major thing like this again. I don't know. Who knows what the future holds, but we've built something that we can scale and build out, and it can last. And so thank you for your patience. But our goal was, we're going into this new month ready, and it's coming. And so stick with us. Man, do check out the new app, whether that is Android, whether that is iOS, or whether you go to dailyaudiobible.com and check out all the stuff that's in the app. Like, leave your global campfire story in the testimonial sections. That has been fun to see people leaving in their videos in the app. So I'm like scrolling through and hearting things, and it's like, wow, this is our app. I love this. I love seeing our community. Maybe check that out in particular. Check out the testimonial section. That is in the community section of the new app. Maybe just check that out. And I won't go on and on today. Just asking for your prayers. Like I've been asking. Like we've been asking. Pray for us. Pray for us that we'll be quick and fast and efficient and just really, really getting something that is very complex, very stable, very quickly. That is pretty much the prayer for that. Something that is very complex to get very stable, very quickly, right? So, yeah, check it out. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, you can do that at dailyaudiobible.com. There is a link on the homepage. If you are using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner. Or if you prefer, the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app. That is the little red button up at the top. Or you can dial 877-942-4253. And that's it for today. I am Brian. Love you. And I will be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Hi, Judy. This is God's Life Speaker. I heard you on the April 11th community prayer. Today is the 25th. And we're praying for Brian with ALS and your daughter, Shannon. And they have a 26 and 23-year-old children. And you're blind and you all can't afford the caregiver that you really need. And your lifelong friend just had 3 strokes. All praise and glory to God, for He is good and He is faithful. And we pray that there is joy and peace and love and kindness and gentleness that Brian sees and Shannon gets to experience, the two of them together in their marriage. That the only thing that is working are his eyes, and that there would be deep moments of eye contact and memories between the two of them that will just help carry them until Jesus comes or comes to get Brian. And we pray for you to have strength. You are such a prayer warrior on here. I've heard your prayers. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you. May he be gracious to you. May he give you peace, your family, and everything that you touch, every portion of your life. May he give you a double portion so that you can give it away. We pray that the right caregiver would come. We pray for extended life, miraculous healing over Brian. We thank the Lord Jesus for every day, for every breath. We serve him with gladness. We speak his holy name. We lift him on high. He reigns. God bless you. In Jesus' name.
As a dove, we are lifting up your prayer request that your Father's home sell quickly for more than is being asked for, and that this transition will go smoothly. For Amina in Ohio, for your friend LaShondra Brown with cancer, your friend Marcus Mason with the heart issues, and fiance's son who lost their mother. We're lifting up Sean and Ryan. Lord, we're asking for you to step into this situation and bring comfort and peace that passes all understanding for AZ in Australia. I'm not sure I pronounced your name right, but we're lifting up your sister Esmeralda with a heart attack and the lung issues. We're asking for complete and total recovery and healing. Nathan in Bloomington for the increased attendance and for this situation where you're meeting with this person to go smoothly and that it be the right fit for your performances, for God's Princess Warrior, for the upcoming surgeries, that you will recover quickly, and for Zeke, your service dog, when you lay him to rest, that you will receive wonderful comfort from our Lord and Savior for missing this beautiful service animal. In the name of Jesus, we pray that you are close to the brokenhearted and heal quickly.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night, DAB family, wherever you are. I hope you're well. Brian and DAB crew, thank you so much for this new app, your loving work putting into this, all of your faithful work. I'm super excited, looking forward to it, so thank you so much.
Hi, my name is Shola, and just calling from the UK. Brian, just calling specifically to pray for you, your technical team, the data engineers, the software developers, the analysts, the data infrastructure, and everything concerning the migration. I work in the technical field, so I know how tricky these things can be sometimes. But I just pray that everything goes according to plan. And the migration happens, and it happens smoothly, and that this platform continues to remain a blessing for people like me, people all over the world. So God bless you, and I pray you start to see the fruits of this many years of labor that you've you and your team have engaged in, and I pray that God will bless you and bless the efforts that you've all put in. All right. God bless. Bye-bye.
Good morning. This is Jeff in Franklin. Just have on my heart the cries and the prayers of those who are suffering and struggling and hurting and just looking for a better way, looking for relief, looking for peace. And I think of Dwayne in Wisconsin and Heidi in Wisconsin and Daniel Johnson Jr. and Sparky and Cowboy and his son and so many, so many. And I just want you to know that you're loved and that you're cared for. Your son, our Savior, loves you so much. We cannot understand. We can't even understand how much God loves us. But when Christ died on the cross, his last words were not, "I am finished," but it is finished. We are going to be okay because we have what we need. All that we have is all that we need, and that's God's word. There's a wonderful verse, Isaiah 43:2. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. God has us. His hand is upon us, and we are going to be okay. He loves us. He cares for us. And he knows us. I love this family, and I just want you to know that you're in the prayers of many. Be strong. Be of good courage.
Hey, family, it's Tamika. How you doing? I've been No, I've been missing in action, but I did want to give you a quick update. God gave me blessing and victory over the ultrasound on my thyroid and the extra ultrasound and mammogram on with the thing that they found in my breast. And I am 100% on top. God got me. And my son is making his way with me, and we found and decided upon a church. And of course, Satan's at me. He's attacking my body and attacking my time with my son. And this is the second Sunday in a row where he's messed up my sciatic nerve, where I couldn't really move, let alone do anything fun with my son. But he's a great little guy. He's 11, but he's a trooper. And I, every day I listen and I'm with you guys, and we're about to turn a wonderful, wonderful new app on. It's going to be so awesome. I'm God, keep your hand upon everything and everyone. I love you all. Blessings.